knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. And they'll be saying, where is the promise of His coming? You know, as time goes on, the longer it goes, Satan is going to put this attitude out in the air that Christ is delaying His coming. And perhaps He's not coming back at all. And there are a lot that believe that. But the attitudes will be out there, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. I hope we don't ever get into that attitude. In order for the scoffers to say, where is the promise of His coming? You know, there has to be somebody out there saying that He is coming. There has to be somebody prophesying, predicting, and saying that He is coming back. Now, over the years, there have been many ministers claim to be prophets, but many people claiming that they knew when Christ was coming back. They were setting dates. Now, on the website Wikipedia, if you just type in there, failed prophecies, and you're going to come up, there's one list that lists well over 100, probably 125 or more, of failed prophecies. I just want to read a few of those. Actually, the first one that I seen on there was actually before Christ. But this is a list of predicted dates for apocalyptic events such as the rapture, the last judgment, or any other event that would result in the end of humanity, civilization, the planet, or the entire universe. The list shows the dates of predictions from notable groups and individuals and when the world was or is forecast to end. Now here's one from the 1186, the year 1186. John, that only gives his name John of Toledo, England, he was an English cardinal. He predicted the end of the world during 1186 based upon the alignments of many planets. So he looked at these planets and somehow he came up with the end of the world was in 1186. In 500, the year 500, these three men, Hippolytus of Rome, Sextus, and Herennius, all three predicted Jesus would return in the year 500. One prediction was based upon the dimensions of Noah's Ark. In 1654, a physician made the prediction that the world would end this year, 1654, based on a nova that occurred in 1592. In 1688, John Napper, a mathematician, calculated the end of the world would be this year in 1688 based on calculations from the Book of Revelations. We all heard of William Miller. He predicted Christ would return in 1844, March 21st. He even had a date. And after Christ did not return on March 21st, 1844, the Millerites then revised Miller's predictions to October 22nd in 1844. They claimed to have miscalculated scriptures. Ellen White, the founder of the Seventh-day Adventist movement, she also made predictions. And she said that she was, an angel told her, and she says, the angel said, time is almost finished. Get ready, get ready, get ready. And that was in 1850. Now the last one I'll mention we all heard of. This is the one that came from a book by Eva Shaw. The book's title was Eve of Destruction, printed by the Lowell House in Los Angeles in 1995. Herbert W. Armstrong, the founder of the Worldwide Church of God, told members of his church that the rapture was to take place in 1936 and that only they would be saved, his church. And the prophecy failed and he changed the date three more times. I don't believe that one. I don't believe Mr. Armstrong believed in the rapture, for one thing. He knew better than that. And I have never heard anything about 1936. Now, I'm sure most of you here have heard about 1972 and 1975. The church thought for sure that Christ was going to return in 1972. I want to read to you how they came to this conclusion. They didn't go by Noah's Ark's measurements or anything in the sky. It had to do with 19-year time cycles, which we used to hear a lot about. Matter of fact, whenever we started in church in 1968, almost every week there was talk about going to a place of safety. The 19-year time cycles was things that we just read about. Mr. Armstrong had them in his letters that he sent to us, the co-worker letters. So we kind of understood a little bit about the 19-year time cycles. I'm sure you know what it is, but it's everything comes in conjunction every 19 years according to the Hebrew calendar, God's calendar. So if you want to see what the sky is like tonight, exactly the same, the sun and the moon and the stars, wait 19 years according to God's calendar and go out and it'll just look the same. I want to read about the two 19-year time cycles that they based the year 1972 on. God commissioned the Apostolic Church one 19-year cycle to proclaim Christ's gospel over the land in which it started in Asia. This is talking about the early church, the church that Christ built, beginning in 31 A.D. Then after one 19-year cycle, in 50 A.D., God opened the door for the Apostle Paul to carry the same gospel into Europe. And in the year 69 A.D., after a second 19-year cycle, the early church, the organized church, was broken off and the church fled to Pella. So after two 19-year time cycles from the time that the church started, the church had to flee. They had to flee Jerusalem and go to the city of Pella. Now, if you want to know how they knew to go, I did look it up. Josephus, in his book of, in the War of the Jews, book 6, chapter 5, talking about that time, Josephus wrote, "But the men of learning understood it, that the security of their holy house was dissolved of its own accord, and that the gate was open for the advantage of the enemies. So these publicly declared that the signal foreshowed a desolation that was coming upon them. Besides these, a few days after the feast, on the 21st, on the 1 and 20th day of the month, a certain prodigious and incredible phenomena appeared. I suppose the account of it would seem to be a fable, were it not be related by those who saw it, and were not the events that followed it so considerable in nature to deserve such signals. For before sun setting, chariots and troops, soldiers in their armor, were seen running about among the clouds, and surrounding the cities moreover at that feast which we call Pentecost, as the priests were going by night into the inner court of the temple, as was their custom, to perform their sacred ministration, they said that, in the first place, they felt a quaking." So this was in 69 A.D. The church felt a quaking. "And then they heard a great noise. And after that, they heard a sound as of a great multitude saying, 'Let us remove hence.'" So perhaps, sometime in the future, we may hear something like that also. Let me just finish reading what Mr. Armstrong wrote about the two 19-year time cycles. This is in 1958. "Time is running out on us. Apparently, as we have said before, God is giving us two 19-year cycles to finish His work. which he has assigned to the church to do. He first opened the mighty door of radio and the printing press for mass evangelization of the whole world with his gospel the first week of January 1934. So the work went out to all our nation in 1934. In the first 19-year cycle, 1934 to 1953, God continued to open that tremendous door wider and wider until this gospel of the kingdom was heard in every state in the United States. Then the first week in January 1953, exactly 19 years to the very week, God opened the door to shout his gospel to Europe and the British Isles. And from there it went on into the world. So they were just eager to, perhaps a little bit too eager, to add what was going on there, but they added the years up, and it came to 1972. From the time it had started in 31, and two 19-year time cycles brought them right up to 1972. And so they guessed and they thought that Christ was going to return 3.5 years later, 1975, and the church would flee in 1972. Like I said, when we first started the church, there was almost every week talking about a place of safety. The groups. Back then, there was about, where we were going in Youngstown, when we first started, there were probably an average of 350 people every week. And there were little groups that would get together, and the same men always got together. But that was on the minds of everybody, the place of safety. Now, I want to go back here to 2 Peter. Well, we're right here in 2 Peter. I'm going to read verses 8 and 9 this time. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God is not slack. There is a time coming when there will be no more delay. There's a time coming when God is going to get fed up with this world. And I wish I knew when it was, but we don't know. We don't know how much longer we have to go. But it sure looks like it's getting close. Now, the point I want to get across today is that as we get closer to the end of the age, Satan is going to fill the air with this attitude of Christ is delaying his coming. We've got to be very careful that we don't get into that attitude. We can't let that become a part of us. In Habakkuk 2:2-3, if you want to turn there, I'll just forget if I can find it. Habakkuk 2:2-3. Well, I found it. I put a card in there. Habakkuk 2:2-3, that's just right before Zephaniah, I believe, yes. Then the Lord answered and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. Now this is talking about at the end of the age, because it says, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie, though it tarries, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Sounds like a contradiction. Though it tarries, it will not tarry. But there is an appointed time. I'm going to read some verses from Daniel. About the appointed time. Won't go to these, but just read them. Daniel 8:19, and he said, look, I am making known to you what shall happen in the latter time of the indignation. For at the appointed time, the end shall be. Daniel 11:27 says, both these kings' hearts shall be bent on evil, and they shall speak lies at the same table, but it shall not prosper. For the end will still be at the appointed time. Again in Daniel 11, and some of those of understanding shall fall to refine them, purge them, and to make them white until the time of the end, because it is still for an appointed time. So there is an appointed time. Let's go to Matthew 24 and let's look and see what is coming. These are verses you all know. They're memory verses, and like I said, this is just a way of reminder, nothing new. Something that I don't think we've heard for a while, but I think it's important. In Matthew 24, 21 and 22, tells us what is coming. For then there will be great tribulation, such has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, the elect, the chosen ones, God's people, you. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Also, Jeremiah 37 tells us that this is 37. Chapter 30 and verse 7. For that day is great, so that none is like it. It is a time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Who is Jacob? We know Jacob had 12 sons, and we know that Joseph had 2 sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and the name Israel was put on them. So this is talking about Israel. This is talking about Ephraim and Manasseh, or modern day Israel today. Now what shall we do? Let's look at Luke 21. Luke 21 and 36. Here's what we should be doing right now. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. What things? Well, back in verse 9, in verse 7, the apostle said, Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things take place? And then Christ says, take heed that nobody deceives you. What are these things? Wars and commotions. Then there's going to be a great earthquake and famines and pestilence. Nations are going to rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. That's what the church will be taken away from. That's what will be counted worthy to escape if we're praying, if we're studying, if we're drawing close to God and putting our trust in Him. Now, Revelation 3, in verse 10, is a promise. Revelation 3 and verse 10. Christ says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, or the great tribulation, which shall come upon the whole world. This is sowing and reaping. It says, because you have kept my command to persevere, so you're sowing the command to persevere, you're doing that, and you are going to reap protection. He's going to keep us from the trial that's going to come on the whole world. Now let's go to the main verse here, I wanted to talk about today. And that's in Revelation 12. And we'll look at verses 13 and 14. Revelation 12, 13 and 14. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Now we all know who the dragon is. Satan the devil. Verse 14. But the woman, the church, was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished, where she is fed physically and spiritually, for time and times and half a times, or for 3.5 years. This is for 3.5 years before Christ returns. And they're going to be protected from the presence of the serpent. But the serpent spilled water out of his mouth like a flood over the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. In other places it will show that the flood is nothing more than an army. This will be an army going after the church. But God, through the earth, helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth, swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. So the Satan is going to send a flood, an army after the church. Then God is going to intervene. He's going to open up the earth some way, an earthquake or some way, and is going to protect the church. If you want a title for the place, it just is Her Place. Now, this verse here, but the woman was given two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly into the wilderness. Other places, other verses show that God used this symbols of also for protection. Let's go back to Exodus 19 and verse 4. You've heard many ministers probably just go back here and show that Exodus 19 and verse 4 and show that God uses this kind of language for protection. So you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. So God is showing here that He brought Israel out of Egypt on eagle's wings. But as we all know, they walked out. But I want to bring to your attention that in this verse 4, there's no word fly in there. That's not there. Back in Revelations 12 and 14, it says that she might fly into the wilderness. Now, I'm not sure how God's going to take His people to her place. I have no idea how He's going to do it. But I want to say that the word fly does mean flying. This literally means to fly. There's only four other places where that is mentioned in the Bible, that word, that Hebrew word, or the Greek word, and it is in Revelations. And each place it talks about flying or how birds fly. Now, where will God take the church? Where are we going to go when we get that call? And it's going to happen. It's not something that may happen or it's a possibility. Revelations 12:14 says it's going to happen. And it's going to be 3.5 years before Christ returns. Well, where is it going to be? Oh, there's been all kind of speculation on that. We've all heard about Petra. And I don't know. I have no idea where it's going to be. I'll just say Mr. Armstrong said that the Bible doesn't tell us where this place will be at. But if it does tell us, it is Petra. There is an awful lot of verses. There's no way to go into it. But today, it will take another whole split sermon to go through all the verses that can show you that it very well could be in that area. Now, Luke 17, I'm going to go there. Luke 17. Luke 17, start in 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. That's not talking about when Christ returns. This is talking about before that. More than likely 3.5 years before that. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day the Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. So this is talking about before Christ returns. This is not talking about the time that he returns. Because that time, we're not going to have to even consider what's in our house because we're going to be taken up in the air. Hopefully, God will count us worthy to change us from flesh and blood to spirit. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. What did she do? Remember, the angels came. They actually had to end up taking Lot, his daughters, by the hands and taking them out of Sodom. They didn't want to go. They were reluctant, but I think if Lot knew, he had to go. But they were taken out. But his wife apparently still desired to be in Sodom. She says, remember Lot's wife. She was turned into a pillar of salt. Now let's go back a few more pages here. Luke 9 and 62, the very last verse in Luke 9. So Jesus said to him, verse 57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. I'm going to go with you. I don't care where it's at. I'm going to be right there by your side. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. Let the dead spiritually bury their own dead. But you go and preach the kingdom. Now, and someone explained this. I'm not sure if it was Mr. Armstrong or not, but they said that this father was probably not dead yet. But the son wanted to wait there till the father died, then he would go. And another said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom. Once God calls us, once he opens our minds, and once we receive his spirit through the laying on of hands, there's no turning back. If you do, you end up in the lake of fire. There's other scripture and verses that tell that very, very clearly. Now, back to Revelations 12. And I want to look at, we read up to verse 16, 13 to 16, but now I want to look at the very last verse, 17. Well, it's not the, yes, it is the last verse. Now after Satan spewed out this flood after the church, and then God protected them, and the dragon was enraged with the woman, he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So this is God's church. This is people that they are God's church. They have God's, perhaps a small amount of God's spirit, but these are God's church, and Satan is going to go after them, but they are going to have to give up their life. They're not going to be taken to her place. So in conclusion, I want to finish with a verse that Mr. Horton used last week. Mr. Horton had a very good sermon on God's deliverance and how God delivers us. So let's go to Psalms 37. Psalms 37, look at the last two verses there, 39 and 40. Psalms 37, 39 and 40. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in a time of trouble. And whenever that call comes to flee, it's going to be a time of trouble. Trouble such as never been on the face of the earth. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He is going to deliver His people. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because we trust in Him.